Well, today I thought what we would cover better than we did last week was, as we remember, Kay had asked an outstanding question that I'd never heard of asked. I'd never thought about it. I had never thought about it myself, but I've never heard it answered. And her question was, since the Apostle Paul was giving them a lesson about John the Immerser, and I guess she was just thinking about it sitting there, but why were the Jews confused, and why were they questioning that John the Immerser may be or could be or are questioning him if he was the Messiah? Because he was a Levite. And I knew, of course, that his dad was a Levite, but I was just thinking on the fly there after she asked the question. I was thinking that his mother Elizabeth was from the tribe of Judah, being a cousin of Mary, who definitely was from the tribe of Judah. But mother quickly looked up the answer, and no, Elizabeth was a Levite also. So somewhere in their two families, they got split, and Elizabeth's family married over and became Levites, whereas Mary's family stayed in the tribe of Judah. But anyway, so both of his parents were Levites, and we know about all the prophecies starting with Jacob, when he was giving the blessing in Egypt, right on his deathbed, to all of his 12 sons. And when Judah came to him, he said, "The scepter will not depart from Judah." And the scepter, of course, is a king's staff, and that was signifying that the lineage of the Messiah would come through Judah. So they knew it, we know it, that the Messiah would be through the tribe of Judah. And then, of course, 500 years later, down the line, even narrow it down from the tribe of Judah, even going to come through the lineage of David. And so that's why, and the Jews and Israelites knew that they would refer to the Messiah, even before he came, as the son of David. And so what I thought I would do is answer the get this more extensively answered. So I just typed it into Google Gemini, that it's their AI program, and asked the question, why did the Jews consider John the Immerser to be the Messiah? And I was pleasantly surprised, and again, it did a great job on answering the question, and it answered it with 2 pages and basically is 4 points. But it said, in the first century, Jewish expectations for a Messiah were more diverse than a single kingly figure from the tribe of Judah. While many expected a king like David, others held different theological views that allowed for a figure like John the Immerser to be considered a messianic candidate, despite his Levitical or priestly lineage. So, basically, in a nutshell, they ignored all the prophecies that the Messiah would come through the tribe of Judah and specifically through the lineage of David. They just ignored that, and they came up with their own theological views, is what the computer came up with. The four primary reasons the Jews wondered if John was the Messiah included the expectation of two messiahs that I'd never heard about, their broad definition of the Messiah, the need for authority, and the association with Elijah. Okay, so it starts off with the expectation of two messiahs. Some prominent Jewish groups, such as the Essenes, believed in the arrival of two distinct messiahs, a priestly messiah and a royal messiah. And I did not realize that the Essenes thought that. Now, we know of the Essenes. I don't know that the Essenes are ever mentioned in the Old or the New Testament. I did not look that up. But what we know, what they're most famous for today is they were scribes, and they had written and copied a bunch of scrolls, and they ended up hiding them in caves around the Dead Sea. And about 1950, there was a young shepherd boy who was tending his sheep very much like, you know, David and many others had out there in the wilderness. And there was one lamb that had gotten down in a little, I don't know, a little valley or crevice or something. And anyway, he threw a rock at that lamb to get him out of there so he didn't have to go over there, and that little lamb needed to get back to the herd. Well, as he threw the rock, it went into a hole in the ground, and he heard a shatter, and it was clay pots. That it hit a clay pot and it shattered it. And so he went in there in this. It turned out it was a cave. And he went in and looked at it, and there were all kind of scrolls. So he went back and he got his other little friend, buddy, and they went and looked at it. And then they ended up telling adults. And over time, it became the best archaeological find biblically of all time, and would rival right up there with the finding of King Tut's tomb, and so known as the Dead Sea Scrolls. But that's who the Essenes were. They were the ones that wrote those, what I've heard, thousands of scrolls, maybe 2,000 scrolls have been found in many caves in that area. And anyway, that's who these Essenes were. But now I'm finding out here they added things that God did not say and did not approve by expecting a priestly Messiah. And they were here during the time of Jesus, and they dated all of those scrolls several hundred years B.C. up to the time of 70 A.D. They think that they hid some of those scrolls right at the time that the Roman Empire was destroying Jerusalem and the temple. And they put them in there. Those were the last ones that got to be hidden for safekeeping. And then they weren't ever found for 2,000 years. But anyway, they were not all correct theologically. And were not grounded. They definitely made additions, but this was one of them, that they were expecting a priestly Messiah in addition to the royal Messiah, is what the computer called it. But and there's even a misunderstanding here. I'll read the one sentence description, but we know we are. That is something we already knew, that they already misunderstood who the Messiah was. They still misunderstand about the Messiah even today. They have the same thought today that they had 2,000 years ago. They've never changed, but I'll briefly mention that. But anyway, a priestly Messiah would be a descendant of Aaron from the tribe of Levi, who would provide spiritual leadership and purify the priest. So that's what they were wanting or expecting and maybe demanding that God do, which he never was going to fulfill that. So that's who they thought that John the Immerser was, filling this priestly Messiah from the tribe of Levi, and he would provide spiritual leadership and purify the priesthood. And then the second Messiah, of course, a royal Messiah, would be a descendant of David, which the Messiah was, from the tribe of Judah. That was all correct. They had that right. But then where they even misunderstood this, but we know that from the New Testament, who would provide political and military leadership. They were looking for a military general and a political leader to rise up an army and lead an army at that time to run out the Jews. To run out the Romans. Whereas today, they're still looking for this same kind of Messiah, but to raise up an army, but it's to fight the Muslims and kick the Muslims out of Judea is what they're looking for now. And the Messiah has already come and gone back to heaven. And the only time he'll return in the sky is to destroy the earth and gather up the righteous at the end of time. And so there's never going to be, and in the meantime, they're just using their American taxpayer dollars to fight their wars for them against the Muslims. But anyway, because John was from the family of Aaron, he fit the profile of the priestly Messiah expected for those who anticipated a dual leadership for Israel. Okay, any questions or comments on any of this? Okay, so this one, of these 4 points, I am very confident, and we'll read the, I believe I have down to read the passage. In fact, yes, we will, the Pharisees come to John and ask, "Who are you?" And they mention, we need to give an answer to the ones who sent us. And what I have surmised, putting two and two together, very likely it was these Essenes that sent them to question John who he was to find out if he is this priestly Messiah, which John flatly denied that of all, and he let them know that he was fulfilling the role that was stated by Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 40, verse 3. We'll look at that too. But anyway, the second point that the AI came up with is they had a broad definition of the Messiah. So a broader one than God did. The Hebrew word for Messiah simply means anointed one. In the Old Testament, 3 types of leaders were anointed: prophets, priests, and king. So, to them, or some of the ones that more loosely translated the scriptures, they broadened the horizon of who the Messiah could be, and it could be any prophet, priest, or king. And because John was preaching with authority, performing baptisms, and leading a massive religious awakening in the wilderness, many wondered if he was the anointed of God, regardless of his specific tribal lineage. And they just completely ignored the tribal lineage requirement, and they would like to have made John the Messiah. So had a very loose definition. The computer said it was a broader definition than what God had. Okay. The third point, the need for authority. The religious leaders in Jerusalem were concerned with authority. John was performing baptisms, which were typically associated with purification, without official sanction from the temple. Okay, so to perform these baptisms for repenting and being baptized, this purification situation, they had to have permission or authorization. And the Pharisees and all of these religious leaders knew that John had not gotten permission from the temple. So that means he had to have gotten it from God. And so the Pharisees sent a delegation to ask, "Who are you?" because only specific figures were believed to have the divine authority to initiate such a widespread messianic mikveh or ritual bath for repentance. the Messiah, Elijah, or the prophet that Moses had prophesied would come after him were the three possible roles that they thought that John was filling. So they knew that he had authority to be teaching the message that he was teaching, and for this ritual bath is what they called it, this messianic mikvah. And as a result, since he did not get that authority from the temple, they knew that he had gotten it from God, and the people knew that he had gotten this authority from God. Jesus even questioned the Pharisees, the baptism of John. By what authority is he baptizing? And they all knew it was from God. Now, the dishonest Pharisees did not want to say it was from God. They wanted to say it was from man. That's what Jesus said. Was it from God or from man? And they wanted to say from man, but they knew they couldn't because the people would then attack them. And because everyone knew that John was a prophet from God, and he was baptizing on the authority from God. And then they just skated the question just by saying, we don't know what the answer is, and not stating the truth. And but anyway, so they ask John, they had three roles that they thought John was filling. Was he the Messiah? Was he Elijah? Or was he this prophet that Moses had said that God is going to raise up from among my people, among the Israelites, a one that will come after me and you will hear him? So that, of course, was referring to the Messiah. Now, I've not ever heard this answered, but I would sure like to know why they did not realize that that was the Messiah. Why was the Messiah separate from this prophet that Moses was talking about? And so I don't know why they should have put those two, because that's just one person, one office there. So do we have any questions or comments on anything here? Okay, now this fourth point is association with Elijah. The prophecy in Malachi stated that Elijah would return before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And this is in the last chapter of the Old Testament, Malachi 4. John's appearance wearing camel's hair and a leather belt and his message of repentance strongly mirrored the historical Elijah. So in some Jewish traditions, Elijah and the Messiah were so closely linked that the public often blended the two or viewed Elijah himself as a type of messianic figure. Ultimately, John clarified that he was not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet, but rather the voice in the wilderness preparing the way for the Messiah. Okay. So these are the 4 points that the computer came up with why the Israelites were wondering if John the Immerser was the Messiah. Now I want to look at three passages here that pertain to this. The first one being Deuteronomy 18 about Moses telling the people about this prophet that they, as they referred to him as they came to John, asking him, well, are you the prophet that Moses was talking about? So we'll read about that. It's John 18, verses 15 through 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from the brethren, him you shall hear. According to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, Moses, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." So this here is a reference to the Messiah, and why they did not, why they separated this prophet from the Messiah, I don't know. I would like to get that answered, but maybe I will someday of what it is. Now, what I have run into over the over time, but I think it was probably within this last year, that something that I was wanting to know what the modern day Jews, who they thought that this prophet was. And I did find that from a modern day rabbi. And he said, well, that was Joshua. And I've mentioned this here in the past, but he said that was Joshua. He was the one that fulfilled this leadership role after Moses left, and he was the one that Moses was talking about. But that is obviously their modern explanation, that they did not have that thought 2,000 years ago and in the first century. They knew that this prophet had not been fulfilled, otherwise they would not have added that to their question, because they would have not, they would have just said, "Are you the Messiah or are you Elijah?" Because then they would have known, oh, well, that prophet that Moses was talking about, that, of course, was Joshua, that led them through the Battle of Jericho and was the head of the Israelite nation after God took Moses. But so this modern day explanation is that even that was not an honest reply from these modern day rabbis, because they have not thought that all the time through. That's something they have thought of more in the recent modern age as an explanation, but they did not think that then. Otherwise, they wouldn't ask John if he was the prophet, because they would have known, well, that's already been fulfilled. So they knew that this prophet hadn't shown up, but then they did not connect in the first century this prophet with the Messiah. Okay, the second passage that I want to look at is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. So Isaiah chapter 40, this is the fulfillment that John, when they said, "Who are you?" And when he answered them with this exact verse right here. John, Isaiah 40, verse 3, John said, we'll read his reply here next. But anyway, this is Isaiah first speaking this in prophecy. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.'" So this is Isaiah prophesying about the harbinger and the role that John the Immerser filled. And this is exactly who John was that Isaiah prophesied about. So he let them know, I'm this one. No, it's not the one from Deuteronomy 18 that Moses talked about. I'm the one that Isaiah prophesied about in Isaiah 40, verse 3. Now we'll go to John 1. John chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. John 1, verse 19. "Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" So he told them right off the bat to eliminate any confusion. "And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Well, are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.'" So he denied he's not the Christ. He's not Elijah, and he's not the prophet that they referred to, but that was the prophet from that Moses prophesied about in Deuteronomy 18, that God would raise up among the people, and that's who they would listen to. So, verse 22, then they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? And I can see very likely that these Essenes were at least one of the groups that sent these to John to question on who he was. And that we may give an answer to those who sent us, what do you say about yourself? So here it is. He tells them exactly who he is, verse 23. So John said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. So that told them exactly that he would be the harbinger, the way preparer for the Messiah to clear the path, make a good, straight, clean path for the Messiah, and already getting the people lined up to be able to accept and welcome the Messiah. And John filled this role spectacularly. In fact, as we'll read, I don't know if we'll get to this week, but what we'll end up reading is also Jesus said that John was the greatest of all the prophets. But then to finish verse 23 and finish John's statement, as the prophet Isaiah said. So he's saying that is the role that I am filling. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, why do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptized with water, but there stands among one, there stands one among you whom you do not know. Okay, so this is the Messiah before he has made himself known. This is Jesus before he's made himself known to anyone. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. So the beyond the Jordan means on the east side of the Jordan, across the Jordan. And so that's where John was teaching and baptizing the people in this Bethabara. And that's where they came to him out in the wilderness, out in the desert, empty, vast wasteland, basically. Out there, not far from the Dead Sea, basically right there at the Dead Sea, north of the Dead Sea. But so this was John's answer on this. Are there any questions or comments on anything on this?